supernatural, Lord, something in their family, Lord, something in their own life, Father, whatever it is, Lord, maybe a loved one that they're praying for, Father, I pray you meet that need tonight. Lord, you know just how to do it, Lord. We trust you, Lord, and we receive it tonight. Lord, may your word go forth, Lord, as you intended it to do. Lord, set us aside, Lord, speaker and hearer alike tonight, as we consecrate ourselves to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 God bless you. You can be seated tonight. Amen. So we just want to speak this evening just a little subject about sin sickness. Amen. Tonight, we may be sick in body, and there's many that are sick in body tonight, but there's many, many more that are sick in their soul tonight. Amen. And I'm so glad that Dr. Jesus is on the scene. Amen. He's the one that can heal every sickness. Amen. He's come to lift men out of sickness and darkness. Amen. Now, in the Bible, we read about, and here Jesus in Luke chapter 5, he is likening physical sickness and physical healing, a physician healing sickness, to those to him calling sinners to repentance. So he's making that connection. Amen. He's saying that he's making the symbolic connection. Amen. Between physical healing and physical sickness and sin sickness or soul sickness. Amen. Sinners that need to repent. So he makes that connection. Now, a physician in the natural, they have great desire, and they'll go through great lengths to minister to needs of people and to heal them. And they could have any kind of motive. Amen. They might just be doing it for the money or for fame, but many of them, most of them, I believe they're true in their motive, and they want to help people. Amen. But they're very limited in what they can do. Is that right? No matter how great the desire of a physician would be to see you get well and to see you get healed, they are limited in what they can do, though their desire be right. Amen. But brother, sister, he's got the desire tonight, and he's got the power. Amen. He can do it. He can solve the sin question, and he has solved it. Amen. But he can heal you from sin sickness once and for all. He can heal you from physical sickness. Amen. Deliver you completely. He's got the power and the desire tonight. Amen. It's good to know Dr. Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. So tonight we're going to talk a little bit about sin sickness, and I believe it's, you know, somewhat appropriate for the day that we are living in. The forefront, of course, on everyone's minds is disease and how to combat them. Amen. Is that right? We are well aware of that tonight as we preach to many, many empty seats. Amen. But we believe that God is, his plan is not thwarted. Amen. His time clock is not interrupted. All things are working according to his plan. Amen. And nothing happens but what he allows it in the life of a believer. Is that right? Amen. So on everyone's mind is the idea of disease and how to prevent disease. And we're doing all these things and measures to help to stop the spread of disease. And so everybody's thinking about it. Amen. But the whole reason that disease exists is because of sin. Amen. If there hadn't have been a fall, there wouldn't be COVID-19. There wouldn't be the flu. There wouldn't be AIDS. There wouldn't be cancer. All of those things came about because of sin sickness. Amen? If it wasn't for sin, we wouldn't ever need a doctor, a hospital, or a nurse. No matter how wonderful they are, we just wouldn't need them. Amen? We wouldn't need medicines and remedies. We're thankful for them. Because we do need them. But we only need them because sin exists in this world. Because this world is fallen and man has fallen into sin sickness. Is that right? Amen. So, you know, we can go out and we can develop a vaccine. And, you know, maybe if tomorrow, say, they developed a vaccine and a cure for this disease, that would be wonderful. But there'll be another one right on its heels. It'll be something else. People will continue to die from all the other things. Amen. It will because the root cause of all of it is sin. Sin is unbelief in God's word and disobedience to his commandments. Amen. Hallelujah. So this caused the whole world to fall. Now, I want to consider a scripture here in Leviticus. We're going to look at this little picture here in Leviticus chapter 13. Now, we know that in the Old Testament, God gave the law to Israel, and many of the things that he gave as the law are spiritual types and symbols for us. Is that right? We don't follow the law. We're not Jewish. We're not bound by the law because Christ fulfilled the law. But many of the things in the law were speaking of him and speaking of us, and they were symbolic. They were natural things speaking of spiritual things. Is that right? So we want to look at some of these spiritual symbols, the spiritual truth that the law speaks to us through these types. Is that all right? Leviticus chapter 13, we want to read in verse 38 through 46. Now, this is the law concerning leprosy in the nation of Israel. How they would detect leprosy, how they would deal with it, and then later on how one would be cleansed and restored of leprosy. All right? Now, leprosy in the Bible is a type of sin. Amen. Everybody, the Bible reader would be aware of that, that it is a symbol or a type of spiritual sin. Amen. So let's read this in Leviticus chapter 13, verse 38. If a man also, or a woman, have in the skin of their flesh bright spots, even white bright spots, then the priest shall look, and behold, if the bright spots in the skin of their flesh be darkish white, it is a freckled spot that groweth in the skin, he is clean. And if the man whose hair is fallen off his head, he is bald, yet he is clean. Yet is he clean. And he that hath his hair fallen off from the part of his head toward his face, he is forehead bald, yet is he clean. And if there be the bald head or the bald forehead or white reddish sore, it is a leprosy sprung up on his bald head or his bald forehead. Now keep in mind, this is all spiritual types, right? It's describing in detail what this leprosy would look like. Then the priest shall look upon it. So they would call in the priesthood to examine the person. Okay, they're going to do the examination and look for sin. All right? The priests look upon it, and behold, if the rising of the sore be white reddish in his bald head or his bald forehead, as the leprosy appeareth in the skin of his flesh, he is a leprous man, he is unclean. The priest shall pronounce him utterly unclean, his plague is in his head. And the leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent. Okay, so he's identified as a leper. Now this is what happens. The leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent, his head bare. He shall put on a covering on his upper lip and shall cry, unclean, unclean. All the days wherein the plague shall be in him, he shall be defiled. He is unclean. He shall dwell alone. Without the camp shall his habitation be. Now, that word unclean doesn't mean that he's dirty. It means he's ceremonially unclean, which means he cannot go into the temple to worship or the tabernacle. He cannot offer sacrifices. He cannot do he cannot come to worship and be part of the feast. In fact, if another Israelite comes in contact with him or comes a certain distance from him or touches him, they become unclean and they're affected by it. So it's a ceremonial uncleanness rather than just being dirty, you understand? So we have a modern disease that we call today called leprosy, but nobody's really certain if it's the same thing, because what is described here is a little bit more broad. All right, what we have today that we call leprosy is easily treated with antibiotics, because we have antibiotics now, and it's really not that contagious. It's actually, you have to have a lot of contact to get it. And so it's not a big deal now. Now, in those days, it was a big deal. And it really, like I said, it really describes more of a category of malady rather than maybe a specific disease. But look, they didn't have antibiotics, right? They didn't have any way to heal this. And so in that day, as a type, it was an incurable disease, right? It was a terrible disease, and it was a terrible disease that separated them from the congregation, separated them from worship, separated them from fellowship, separated them, drove them out of their position. Amen. They might have been a leader in Israel. They might have been a businessman or a head of a family, or they might have been well looked up to or whatever. It didn't matter. Leprosy pushed them out of their position.
Right.
Amen. Amen. They were unclean. They had to now live outside of the camp. Terrible disease. And they took it very seriously. Amen. Oh, if we could just get a little lesson from that tonight. Amen. If we could treat sin so seriously as Israel treated leprosy, as God treated leprosy. Amen. No fellowship, separated from our Father. Sin cast us out of our position in heavenly places. Amen. Separated us from our heavenly family. Oh my. Not able to come to worship as we were meant to worship the living God in spirit and truth with a clear conscience. But instead, like Adam, running away from God, hiding, amen, trying to get away from what he'd done. The leper had to cry out, unclean, unclean. Just the way our sin goes before us. Amen. You know that your sin, amen, until it's dealt with, your sin goes before you. It goes to the throne, and the accuser of the brethren is there.
Right.
Amen. And he's using that sin to accuse you.
Right.
Amen. The leper crying, unclean, unclean. I cannot come to the tabernacle. I cannot worship. I have no fellowship with my God. Unclean. This was not a sickness to play around with. Amen. This was something that God took seriously. Sin, sickness. Amen. And he came to deal with it personally. They didn't have a cure, and so they feared it. They were afraid. Amen. Oh, one of the most striking things about this current pandemic that we're in is how much fear is in the land. I mean, there's fear covers this world like a blanket right now. People are doing things that they never would have thought of because of fear, because they're afraid. And brother, sister, we're just barely scratching the surface. Amen. Because there's no cure. Amen. We're afraid of it. Just as Israel was afraid of leprosy, there was no cure. It's serious, extremely contagious. Amen. And fear begins to rule the day. It begins to take over. Amen. So God chose the most feared disease of their time to typify sin. We should fear. We should be afraid, or we should respect.
Sure.
The darkness and blackness of sin.
Yes.
Amen? But no, instead, people want to tempt God.
My.
Amen? They want to play church. They want to play around with his word. They want to play around with sin. Oh my, you would say somebody was crazy if they were out playing around with, you know, the current disease in the land. So what's wrong with you? They don't respect it. There's been people like that. In the news headlines and things, they say, oh, they flaunt it. Oh, it's no big deal, whatever. And then they end up getting it.
Right.
And boy, do they change their tune.
Yeah.
Humble pie, I believe that's what they call it, right? Amen? They realize, oh, I shouldn't have played around with that. Brother, sister, We don't want to come to the day of judgment and have that type of that type of realization. Amen. Amen. People want to thumb their nose at God and disrespect His sacrifice, the terrible price that He paid for sin. They want to scoff at the very idea that there is a God, not being fearful of the disease of sin that's consuming them. Or some want to say they believe and pay lip service, amen, without surrendering completely. Making Him complete Lord. How can you be cured if you don't let the doctor have complete control?
That's right.
Amen. All of this shows a lack of fear and a lack of respect for the sickness. Amen. If you really respect the sickness, you'll do whatever the doctor tells you.
Right.
Amen. Amen. I'm amazed, you know, how careful everyone has suddenly become. Amen. Everybody's washing their hands. Like, well, were you washing your hands before? You know, everybody's got hand sanitizer, and man, it's 6 feet away. Right? And we're going through all of these things, and everybody's so careful. And those are all good things. There's nothing wrong with that. Amen. Being cautious. People are being cautious about what they touch. Right? They're being cautious about what they breathe in. They're putting masks on and they're careful about the atmosphere that they go in. The places they go. The people that they're around. The people that they interact with. Everybody's very careful now. Well, brother, sister, this is not a sickness that can kill your soul.
Right.
Amen. What kind of approach ought we to have towards sin?
Right.
Unbelief in God's word. Careful what we touch. Careful what we breathe in, what we take in. Careful who we associate with, where we go. What we rub shoulders with. Amen? Leviticus 13 described to us in detail how the priest would examine someone and look for the smallest telltale signs of leprosy. And they were the one that would confirm whether they were a leper, whether they were clean or unclean or not, right? And this is what the Word of God does for us. The Word of God examines us. It examines the smallest detail in our lives. Amen? And it roots out sin and it says, whoa, this little thing right here, it may not look like much, but that's sin. That's leprosy right there. That little dot that doesn't even, it seems insignificant. Amen? That's what the Word of God does. Preaching the Word examines us and it points those things out in our lives. Amen. Maybe we don't realize that sin has taken a hold in our life. It's gotten a grip. It's gotten a foothold. But the Word, the washing of the water of the Word comes and it points those things out to us. Amen. I'm so grateful for that. And it doesn't do it to destroy us. It does it to heal us. Amen. Because this sickness is not incurable. Sin is not incurable. It has been cured. There is a cure. Amen.
Amen.
So the Word doesn't come to condemn us. It comes to heal us. It comes to deliver us. But, you know, too many times we look at a little thing like that and we don't want to deal with it. Amen? In those days, they didn't have a choice. They didn't have a cure for leprosy. But today, we have a choice when it comes to sin sickness. We've got a choice. We can run to Dr. Jesus and be healed. We can receive healing, or we can try and take one of those little band-aids and just slap it on there and say, I don't have anything.
Right.
Amen? And that's what too many times what we try and do. The Word comes and it points out, that's leprosy, that's sin in your life. And we put a band-aid over it and say, where? I don't see anything. It's one of those nice bandages that's skin colored.
Oh, yeah.
So you can't see it. Covered up. Amen? Too many times we try to cover up. Oh, you know, I just blew up that temper. Just, you know, it runs in my family. Well, so there's still a cure. Amen. Or lust or rebellion. Well, we just covered those things. Well, it's not a problem. I can handle it. Really? You gonna let that leprosy break out all in your life? You're gonna let sin just go undealt with. Too many times we allow that to happen. Amen. Just go on our way. Let the preaching of the word come, and well, that was for him. I know what the problem in her life is. Amen. It must be dealt with. Now, I know that there are many classes of people that I'm talking to tonight. Some have been completely delivered from sin. Some have not. Amen. But even those that have been delivered from sin, we've been cured from sin sickness in our soul, yet we still have to be on guard. Amen. We still have to deal with sin in our flesh. Is that right? But thank God that he has given us the ultimate cure. The Bible says that the Son of God does not commit sin. Amen, because his seed remains in him, because we have received the ultimate healing from sin sickness. Aren't you thankful for that tonight? Oh, I'm so glad. Amen. Amen. So sin's got to be dealt with. We're all in the same boat. Amen. We all deal with this. We have to be repenting, and we have to deal with unbelief in our lives constantly. We have to be washed by the water of the word. Amen. We have to allow the word to discern our hearts and to show us places in our lives that where we've allowed unbelief to creep in. Amen. But praise God, that's what his word is for. Amen. And brother, sister, once we've been birthed through new life, through the blood of Jesus, our soul has been cleansed permanently. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Cleansed permanently of sin. Amen. That's our choice. Amen. Now, there's a next part to this scripture that we read in Leviticus. And there's the rest of chapter 13, and it goes through a whole bunch of things about leprosy. In fact, you can go through and read it, and just everywhere that it talks about leprosy, think about sin. Yes. Amen? And you can go and read it, and you can see that it talks about leprosy in a house, leprosy in clothing. Amen? And I believe, you know, probably in those days, the physical thing they were probably talking about is things, I don't know, maybe like fungus and mold and different things in the buildings. They would actually scrape the stones of the house. But all these things are types. Amen? All these things are symbols of our lives and how that we can keep sin out of our homes and out of our life. And if it was something that they worked so hard to keep leprosy out of the nation of Israel, shouldn't we be doing that in our lives as Christians? Amen. Shouldn't we be keeping that out of our lives, out of our homes? Amen. Hallelujah. So sin must be dealt with. Let's look at Leviticus chapter 14. And we're just going to read the first 7 verses here. So now, it's come down and it talks about all the different forms of leprosy and all the consequences of it. But there is also law concerning the cleansing. Amen? There's a good news tonight. Aren't you thankful for that? Leviticus chapter 14, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, "This shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought unto the priest." Now, it's not talking about how he was cleansed, but it's talking about how he's restored. All right? He shall be brought unto the priest, and the priest shall go forth out of the camp. And the priest shall look, and behold, if the plague of leprosy be healed in the leper, then shall the priest command to take for him that is to be cleansed two birds alive. Now remember, these are all spiritual types. We're going to, by God's grace, break this down a little bit more. Two birds alive and clean, and cedar wood, and scarlet, and hyssop. And the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel over running water. As for the living bird, he shall take it, and the cedar wood, and the scarlet, and the hyssop, and shall dip them and the living bird in the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water. And he shall sprinkle upon him that is to be cleansed from the leprosy seven times, and shall pronounce him clean, and shall let the living bird loose into the open field. Oh my. So this is cleansing and restoration from sin. Amen? So we've got some symbols here that we want to look at real quickly. We've got the two birds. We've got the earthen vessel. We've got the running water. We've got hyssop. We've got cedar wood. And then, of course, we have the person, right? Amen. Now, the earthen vessel, these are made of specific materials, speaking of Christ's humility at coming in an earthen vessel. Amen. The running water symbolizes the Spirit. Hyssop is, we find it in earlier in the Old Testament as an instrument used to apply the blood. Amen. A symbol of faith. Where it's just common, it's just a common plant, and it's used to apply the blood to the doorposts in the Exodus, amen? So hyssop is just a symbol of faith, of common faith. Now, the birds, one of them is killed, and one of them lives. Oh, what a beautiful type, amen? And Brother Branham said that they're mates, amen? So you've got two birds. One is killed and the mate is let go, but she's covered in the blood of the one that was killed. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. The bride of Christ. Amen. His blood was shed for her. And the only reason that she lives is because she is covered in that blood. And so she's set free. Amen. She's given life. She's released because of the sacrifice that he made. Amen?
Amen?
Hallelujah. So this scripture here is speaking of sin being dealt with. Amen? Is that right? Now, too many times people come and they approach Christ and they say, I'm a sinner and I want to go to heaven. And so they accept Jesus and then they just go on. Amen? But you see, there's a little more to this than that. Because what's actually happening is that believer has to be pronounced clean. They can't just waltz back into the nation of Israel and say, hey guys, I'm here. Just come into the tabernacle. Whoa, 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 buddy. Did a priest come and do this ceremony and pronounce you clean? Amen. We've got to be pronounced clean. We have to have the assurance that the sin sickness has been dealt with. Amen. And the only one that can do that is God.
Right.
Is that right?
Right.
So the priest comes and he actually, through this ceremony, it's the Holy Spirit coming back to the believer. Amen. God coming back and answering back and saying, my child, you are clean. Here's the token life. Here's my life as proof That the sin question has been answered in your life. Now come back into fellowship with me. Amen. You've been cleansed. You've been allowed back into fellowship in the nation. Amen. You've been proclaimed clean. If you had a position before, you got the position back. Amen. Hallelujah. If you were a leader in Israel before, now you're back. Just as though it never happened. I'm so thankful for that tonight. Amen. The cleansing of sin sickness brings us back to our heavenly position. It brings us back to what God intended for us.
Amen.
It brings us back into position as sons and daughters of the living God.
Amen.
It brings us back to where we can truly worship Him again.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Where we can worship in spirit and truth. Think about that man that was cleansed from leprosy. Let's take a man as an example. He gets leprosy, he's cleansed, he's restored. Now he's back. Well, all his life he's probably offered sacrifices and, you know, all the things that God asked and you know, all the religious ceremony and stuff. Don't you think it's going to be a little bit different now? Oh my. I bet he appreciates it. Amen. I bet he appreciates, oh, thank God, now I can come back. I can worship. Now I can participate in the feast again. I can see my loved ones. I'm back, restored. What kind of worship is that man going to have? Amen. He's going to worship a little bit differently. Amen. Than some other a Jewish man that has never experienced that grace of God.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. Now our sacrifice is real.
Amen.
Amen. We've identified with our sacrifice. When the Holy Spirit comes back and answers back to you that sin has been dealt with in your life, the Bible becomes new again. It just opens up to you. It becomes a living word.
Amen.
He is a living God. It's not a dead letter. Amen. It's not an experience that somebody else had. Now it's your experience. Amen. Now it's been witnessed to you that you are clean. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, you were in a dark place when you cried out, unclean, unclean, oh God. Come and help me. Come deliver me. I'm unclean, Lord. And then he came.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He came and made good on his promise.
Amen.
Oh, glory to God. Amen. Now the word of God just leaps off the pages.
Yes.
Now it's living. Amen.
Right. Amen.
Now you know the God that wrote the Bible.
Right.
Oh, hallelujah. He's a mighty God tonight, isn't he? Amen. He's a mighty deliverer. He's our Father.
Amen.
Brother, sister, what do we have to be afraid of tonight? Amen. I'm not afraid of any sickness that this earth can come up with. Amen. The only sickness that I would be afraid of, if I could put it that way, is sin sickness. Amen. But my God has dealt with that once and for all. That's the only thing that can hurt me. Amen. And now, even that, death, where is thy sting? Grave, where is thy victory? Hallelujah. Sin has been dealt with. And no longer am I unclean. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Oh, the Bible is real. It's not someone else's experience. Now it's your experience. Amen. Becomes real. You know something changed. I had leprosy. I was unclean.
Yes,
and now, though my sins were as scarlet,
amen,
they are white as snow. Yes. Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 But brothers, sisters, too many people sit their entire lives in a pew and they never come to that place.
Oh, exactly.
Amen. Every time the word convicts them of sin, that maybe they'll have I'm sorry, Lord, and then just, but they never come to that place where God answers back. Amen. where the priest would come and answer back and sprinkle that blood on their hearts, amen, and wash them in the blood and make them completely clean and restore them and say, you are whole. One time there was a man in the Bible called Naaman. Know the story? Man, he was a captain of a foreign nation, a very mighty man of valor. Amen. And he had leprosy. And he heard about, I believe it was from one of the captured girls, a servant girl from Israel. He had heard about how that there was a prophet in the land of Israel, how there was a God in Israel, and there was a prophet there, and that he could heal him of his leprosy. Amen. He heard the gospel preached to him. And so he went to this gospel preacher, Elisha, right? And he said, hey, well, you know, what do I have to do to be saved? I mean, what do I have to do to be delivered of this leprosy, right? We're making the parallel. Amen. And he said, oh, it's very simple. All you have to do is go down and wash in the River Jordan. Now, is there some power in the River Jordan? No. Basically, he was looking for obedience. All you have to do, God said, if you would be obedient, right, humble yourself, right, amen, and be obedient and do what I say, you can receive it. It's for everyone. Right. Amen. And Naaman said, that muddy, old, dirty river, why would I go down there? There's much better rivers in Babylon and all. He'd been traveled, you know, all over, no doubt. Seen many beautiful places. Why would I go in that dirty old muddy river and wash myself? Amen. And somebody with some reason in his camp said, look, if he had asked you to do some great thing, wouldn't you go do it? Sure. Why not try it? Right? Right? Well, because it required a little bit of humility. And brother, sister, that's too many times. That holds us back from our sin, sickness, healing. Is humility, pride. Right? Being able to humble ourselves and say, yeah, I have a problem. I've been in church my entire life, but I have a problem. Amen. I need help. I need God. I need to be delivered. I need to be healed, whatever it may be. I need the Holy Ghost. I need to come down to an old-fashioned altar and die out. Amen? And maybe the preacher would say, well, you need to come down in front of everybody. Come down here and repent. Amen? And maybe the pride would say, I'm not doing that in front of everybody. What if I do something crazy? What if the Lord makes me... what if the Holy Spirit hits me and I dance around and my hairpins fly out? What if I cry and everybody sees me crying? What if I do something that's going to embarrass me? Well, okay, Naaman. You don't want to be healed?
Right.
Obviously, sin sickness isn't so feared by you that you're willing to do anything to get it cured. But Naaman had had enough. He said, you know what? You're right. This is a simple thing he's asking. He's just asking me for simple obedience. Sure, everybody in the land's going to see me. What? Is that the famous guy down in, famous Naaman? Well, the great soldier down in the mud? Sometimes God does things like that to see how we'll react. Amen? Amen. Brother, sister, When God began to move on my heart that I needed the Holy Ghost, I didn't care what I had to do. Lord, I don't care. I just know I need you. I need to know that my sin is dealt with once and for all. I need to know that I'm filled with your Spirit. I need to know, Lord, that I'm saved. I need to know I'm going to be there. Nothing else matters, Lord. Lord, I don't care. Do whatever you want. Make a fool of me. This means more than anything. This is the most important thing in my life. And Naaman, when he humbled himself, leprosy was cleansed. Amen. His sin was washed away in type. Amen. Because he humbled himself. And he was willing to do whatever God, through that prophet, told him to do. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's read another scripture here in Matthew chapter 8. We won't be too much longer here tonight. Matthew chapter 8, verse 1. Now this is Jesus. He says, when he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Hallelujah. And Jesus said unto him, see thou tell no man, but go thy way and show thyself to the priest. Right? So he was going to actually go through this rite of cleansing that we read in Leviticus. Show thyself to the priest and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. Amen. So Jesus was the healer of physical leprosy. Now suddenly, something that they had no remedy for, no cure for, something that they feared, he came on the scene and he said, don't be afraid. Right? Showing that he was God over sin, leprosy. He's the same healer today. He's the same healer tonight. Amen. When the man came and he said, will you? Will you? I know you can, but will you? He said, I will. I will. That's my desire. That's why I came. That's what I was sent for. That is my greatest desire. That is my mission. Amen. He's the same tonight. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. Oh, sure, we may have scientific advances. We may, we get cures and immunities and vaccines and whatever to different things, but he never changes. He's the healer of all diseases. He said, I will. I will. Brother, sister, if you ask him tonight, that would be his answer. If he was standing here and you asked him, Lord, will you heal me? That would be his answer. Amen? That was his desire. Yes. I will. The resurrected Jesus. Hallelujah. He's not dead. He's living. Amen. The resurrected Jesus is the healer. Amen. Of sin, sickness today, tonight. Amen. Luke chapter 5. Verse 17, it says, and it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of law sitting by, which were come out of every town in Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. I love how the Bible says that. Amen. Look, it's talking about the Pharisees and the doctors of law and all of them, and it says the power of the Lord was present to heal them. And behold, men brought in a bed, a man which was taken with a palsy. And they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went up on the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. So they let him down through the roof so that he could come and come before Jesus. Amen. And when he saw their faith, he said unto him, I heal you of your palsy. No, that's not what he said. Right? He says that later. But first, what's he say? Now, that's what the man was listening for. Right? That's why he was there. He was there to be healed physically. But what does Jesus say? First thing, he says, he saw their faith, and he said, man, thy sins are forgiven thee. Thy sins. Priority. Amen. Thy sins are forgiven thee. And the scribes and Pharisees blew a gasket. They began to reason, it says, amen, saying, who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? Yeah, you got it. Bingo. Amen. Who can forgive sins but God alone? And they're saying he's blaspheming. Now he knew they would have that reaction. But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answering said unto them, what reason in your hearts? Whether is easier, to say thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say rise up and walk? It's easy for me to just say your sins are forgiven. Right? That's, I can just say the words. He says, but that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, power over the sin sickness, sickness in the soul. He said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy couch and go into thine house. And immediately he rose up before them, took up that whereon he lay, and departed into his own house, glorifying God. Hallelujah. And they were amazed and glorified God. And they were filled with fear, saying, we have seen strange things today. Oh, hallelujah. This man that was looking for physical healing. That's all he was there for, man. He's sick with a palsy. I want to be healed. Imagine that he came here with that thought, but he was open. And Jesus perceived that he had faith. Amen. And he came to the right place. He came because he believed Jesus could help him. He came with an open and a believing heart to be healed. Oh, and he got more than he bargained for. Hallelujah. Amen. He got more abundantly above what he could ask. Amen. Because his physical healing only lasted as long as his life. Who knows how old he was? He might have been up in years, right? Maybe it only lasted, maybe he got sick and died a couple years later. It only lasted a short time. But oh, that forgiveness of sins. Dealing with the sin question, the spiritual healing is far more lasting. Amen. Jesus' power over bodily sickness was a sign that he said he was who he said he was. It was a sign that he had power over sin. Brothers and sisters, what would happen if we came to him with that kind of sincerity? If we came to him with an open heart like that man did, who wasn't going to take no for an answer, that said, I got to get to Jesus no matter what. Maybe he could do abundantly above what we could ask or think. Maybe we would get more than we bargained for. Amen? Amen. Maybe that happened to you one time when you stumbled into a church. Amen? Maybe that's happening to you tonight. Maybe you just tune in to hear a... Maybe you just wanted to hear a sermon to ease your mind in troubled times. Maybe you just wanted to hear some uplifting words from the Bible. And there's nothing wrong with that. Amen? Maybe you just wanted to hear an uplifting sermon to lift your spirits a little bit. Well, I'm here to tell you that maybe Jesus wants to give you more than you bargained for. Maybe he wants to deal with the real root cause tonight. Maybe he wants to deal. No, maybe. I'll drop the maybe from that. He wants to deal with the root cause tonight. He wants to heal the sin sickness in lives tonight. Amen. Yes, he's interested in healing your body. Yes, he's interested in uplifting your spirit. But he wants ultimately to deal with the sin sickness in your soul. Amen. But brother, sister, we just have to surrender to him. Amen. It's far more consequential to surrender to him than just to hear a nice, be lifted up in our spirit and hear a nice sermon. Say, wow, that was good. I feel a lot better. Well, that's good. Amen. But how about if we can deal with something? How about if we can be cured of something? Amen. How about if we can have some leprosy dealt with in our lives? Amen. Some sin sickness. Amen. There's only one cure, brother, sister, for sin. And it's being born again through the blood of Christ. There's no other way. Men have tried through the years every different way that they could think of, organization and creeds and dogmas and you know, different baptisms, and follow this one and follow that one and believe this doctrine, believe that doctrine, be with this group or whatever. Amen? But there's still only one cure.
Right. Yes.
And that's being born again through the Holy Spirit by the blood of Jesus Christ. Is that right? Amen. What would it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Amen. Gain everything and lose your own soul. Money can't buy it. Popularity can't bring it. Amen. There's no substitute for it. It comes down to a new birth. It comes down to be born again, a new creation in Christ. Amen. And he's the only one that can tell you you're cured. Yet you need to have a confession and say, yes, Lord, I believe, I accept what you've done, and I accept it with my whole heart. But then he's got to come back and answer. He's got to answer back. Amen. And that, brother, sister, is what drives away the fear. That's why we can have rest in troubled times. That's why we can sing that song, Brother Mike, that we sang tonight. I'm no longer a slave to fear.
Right. Right.
Amen. Fear once had bondage over me. Yes. Let's read that scripture. I just happen to have that one here tonight. Romans chapter 8, verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you, through the Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. You have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. No longer are we crying, unclean, unclean. Now we cry, Abba, Father, Abba, Father.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We're not bound by the blackness of leprosy of sin, but now we have received freedom by the Spirit. He says, you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. That is, Papa, Father, Father, our God, our Father. Amen.
Amen.
The Spirit itself beareth witness.
Yeah.
Amen. That's the act of the priest coming back and saying, you are clean. Amen. Oh, there's no sweeter sound. Amen. Not guilty.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You are clean. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Oh, brother, sister, when you hear that voice, when you hear him say those words, who's going to separate you from the love of God? Who's going to tell you otherwise? When we get into trouble is when we haven't heard that. Amen. And then we go on presuming and wondering. And then the devil can run you ragged from left to right, up and down. That's when doctrines can pull you off to the left. Every wind of doctrine blows through and you're, well, maybe it's this. Maybe it's moons. Maybe it's, right? But if you've heard this voice, if the Spirit beareth witness with your spirit that you are the child of God or a child of God. Amen. He says, then if children, then we are heirs. We inherit
yes.
everything. Amen. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ.
Amen.
If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Oh, hallelujah.
Amen.
Brother, sister, that's good news tonight. Amen.
Yes.
The sin question, the sin sickness, there's a cure for it tonight. Amen. We don't have to wait. We can come and be cured right now. Amen. We don't have to wait for a vaccine to be developed. Amen. The cure was accomplished at Calvary 2,000 years ago. We just got to come receive it tonight. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet. Amen. Hallelujah. Why would we want to guess at it? Amen. Do you, if you find yourself during a troubling time when circumstances are being heaped up, you find yourself walking in fear, being gripped by fear. Amen. The blanket of fear that's gripping the nation, you're caught up in it. you're listening, as our pastor said, to the wrong voice. Amen. If you find yourself in a time of trouble walking in fear, why don't you ask him about it? See what he says about it. Amen. We have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. Once you've received the cure for sin, you're no longer in bondage. Amen. My eyes are not on the government. My eyes are not on CDC or what's the other one? Who? Right? My eyes are not on them. As thankful as we are for all the medicine and all the things that we have, that's not my hope, brother, sister. That's not where I look to. I'm not wringing my hands going, "Oh, I wonder, are they going to come up with this? Are they going to?" No. We are not subject to bondage by fear. My eye and my trust is in the Lord. Amen. Let's just bow our heads tonight. Just as we bow our heads, just in reverence before him tonight, as the word of God has been preached. Sister, if you could come up and just play the piano a little bit here tonight. If you're listening in tonight, maybe you've tried to serve him in the past, and maybe you've fallen. Maybe you've fallen away, and you say, "Well, see, I knew there was nothing to it. Maybe it's not for me," or just given up, said it's too hard. I'm encouraging you tonight to get up. Get up and come back. If there's anything in you that's crying out, that's desiring to be healed of the sin sickness, come back. There's only one cure. There's only one place you can run to, and that's Christ. He hasn't left. If there's any desire in your heart tonight, it's because he's calling you. You say, "Well, how many times should I fall and get back up?" As many times as it takes. You get back up. You keep going. You go until you know that you know that you know that it's been dealt with. You know that you're clean. You go until he gives you the Holy Spirit of power, the overcoming power to live for him. Tonight, Jesus wants to heal you. That's his desire. He wants to save. He wants to deliver. That was why he came into the world. He's not looking to condemn you. He's looking to save you. He's looking to make you clean. He suffered and took upon himself the sin of the whole world. The blackness, the evilness of your sin and mine. He bore that to the cross. For you and I. Why would he do that and then desire to condemn you? He wants to heal your sin sickness tonight. You just got to receive it. You've got to open your heart to him and say, "Lord, I know. Lord, I know I've fallen short. I know I'm a sinner, Lord. Lord, your word shows me where I'm wrong, where I've fallen short." You just cry out to him right now in your own way. You just lift your voice. Even if it's just in your heart, you cry out to God. The time is short, brother, sister. If this current situation has told us nothing else, it's that the time of grace is almost over. There's coming a time where there won't be sermons like this preached anymore, because there will not be grace. There won't be grace any longer. He said, "Those that are filthy will be filthy still." The cure won't be extended any longer. But there is time tonight. While we have breath in our body, let us call on him. Let us cry out, "Oh God, come and deliver me. Come and save me. Come and heal me. He hears your voice tonight. He knows your name. He knows right where you are tonight. He knows exactly what you've been through. He knows the trials, the struggles, the hard times. He knows right where you are. And He's here tonight. Won't you just receive Him? Won't you just invite Him? Oh, Jesus, come. Heal my sin sickness, Lord. Come, Lord. Make that your prayer tonight. Just as we pray. Father, Lord, I've delivered the word that you put on my heart tonight. Lord, I pray that, Lord, maybe there's some that are praying even now, Lord, as I speak. Lord, maybe it'll be some that'll listen to it at a future time. Whatever it may be, Lord, I pray that you would go and meet, Lord, that prayer, Lord. Meet that heart, oh God, that's calling out to you, Lord. Meet that heart, Lord, that's looking around and saying, I see chaos all around me. I know that I'm not where I need to be. I know you're coming soon, Lord. Lord, come. Deliver me from my sin sickness. Lord, heal me of it once and for all, Lord. I receive you now. Lord, I pray that you would come. Come, Lord. Lord, minister to those needs, Lord, those hungry hearts tonight. Oh, hallelujah. Lord, and may they be filled with your Spirit, Lord. May they be restored, Lord. Take their place, oh God, in the family of God. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Brother, sister, we can trust Him tonight. Amen. We can trust Him with our whole life. We can trust Him with our soul. Amen. Let's just trust Him tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I want to issue a challenge to you tonight. Let's trust Him tonight like we've never trusted Him before. Amen. Let's just throw our whole heart into serving Him. Just trust Him like we've never trusted Him before. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. He won't betray that trust. He's worthy of it. He's the only one that can make good on His promises. Every single one of them. Amen. And He will. He will keep you. He will do what He said He would do. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Let's just worship Him now tonight together. Amen. Jesus at the same.